Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Puzzle Piece Podcast, the podcast dedicated to giving you tips and tricks about making it in the music industry. In the spirit of reconciliation, Puzzle Piece Podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Today's episode, we're speaking to Libby Steele, the awesome up-and-coming artist whose soulful vocals has garnered her a lot of attention across the country. She shares some stages with acts like San Cisco and Taylor Henderson. Thanks for joining us today, Libby.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'll start off, for you coming from like a regional town, obviously the opportunities wouldn't be there as much as they would in bigger towns, but were you kind of always involved in the industry and that made it a bit easier for you to go out there, or did you have to go massively out of your way to meet these people and get your name out there?
Bit of both. Like, it's definitely a lot harder from the country. I didn't even know it was really possible, and when I went to uni, I kind of gave up on the idea of music just because I didn't know how to do it. Had no contacts, no support network, and I just kind of thought it was just a bit of a dream. So in terms of that, it's very hard to network, but the perks of it are that the people who are creative there do really want to help you, and just people in the community in general. So it's definitely got its perks and not so great things, but for me, yeah, it was very hard to meet industry professionals, and to be honest, I'm still networking and working that all out, because I still live rurally, I still live in Torquay, so I'm not always amongst it, I suppose. So yeah, that's definitely been something I've had to learn at getting better and putting myself out there and just try and meet people as you go along.
Yeah. And you can get as specific as you want here, but what were some of the ways you went out there and met these people when you were trying to get your name out there?
Yeah, definitely through trial and error. You definitely meet people who probably aren't well suited to you, and then you, and then that leads to something else, and then you find a team who does align with you. So it definitely is a bit of trial and error. Not everybody aligns with your music. You don't align with everyone else's vision. So, and that's a part of it. It's a part of just getting to know everyone, and everyone's got a different story and something different to offer. So I think you shouldn't be afraid of getting out there and networking with everyone. But you've just got to be a little bit, not cautious, but just not even picky, but just, I suppose, choose your team well instead of just picking the, you know, whoever you network with. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that's kind of come up a few times is that you shouldn't, like, when you're trying to meet these people, there shouldn't necessarily be an ulterior motive. It should just be like trying to get your network bigger, and then hopefully down the line, oh, you can call on this person for this reason or that person for that reason. Is that kind of how you went about meeting people as well?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't expect that, and you shouldn't even want that everyone you meet you want to work with, because that's probably not beneficial for either of you. And I know in my career I've done that, where it just wasn't the right fit, and it's definitely, you learn a lot, but it's probably not the best for your creative vision, and it can definitely make your music turn out a different way to perhaps what you had thought, and just a few things like that. So yeah, meet as many people as you can, but don't always be saying yes. And yeah, sit down and really think about who would actually be the right people for your team, rather than maybe who are the best people on paper.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going into more of the shows and concerts and stuff. So I don't really think, again, there's not much out for budding musos about this, but back in the early days of your music, how did you kind of go out there and play shows? Was it just a matter of doing open mics and talent shows and stuff like that? Or was it through these people you met early on and maybe supporting them or singing backup or something like that?
Yeah, for me, to be honest, I'm only really just starting to make all my contacts. Earlier on, I didn't have that many contacts, and I did feel like I was trying to just do it all myself, which probably isn't the smartest thing to do either. but when I started, I was emailing everybody asking for gigs. I would see somebody would come into town and I would say, can I please support? So probably being a bit of a pest, really. But definitely, you know, it helps, and you've got to put your name in front of these people. And that for me is where it was really beneficial to come from a country town, because they do want to support you. Like, they do want these local supports. So that's where I managed to get into some really good support slots, which has kind of trickled on, and each show kind of leads into another one. And I guess that's where I got my toe in terms of gigging.
Yeah. So literally just like Instagram messaging them or emailing them and just hoping for the best is kind of the way you went about things?
Yeah. So I would see somebody's coming into town and I would usually message their manager, or you've got to be a bit careful about dropping into DMs and whatnot. when you're young, you've really got nothing to lose, so you may as well just give it a crack, and you'll definitely get a lot of no's, but that's fine. You've got to learn at some point. It happens more than not.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so if you then, on the more business side, do people come up, or do you come across maybe like a management or label or something, and you reach out to them as well, like on the business side of music, and say, I'd love to work with you, here are my songs and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. You can most definitely do that. Something that I've learned and been taught along the way is, and this doesn't apply for everyone, but it just applied for me, is to put in the groundwork to get yourself to a stage where the right people are contacting you. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if you're too early in your career and you're reaching out to all these people, you might end up with a manager who's probably going to more take advantage of you and taking money from you than you actually. You've got to have something going, if you know what I mean. And I'm just, that was some really good advice for me. Don't rush into it. Like, you don't need a manager until you've got something to manage. Like, you need to be out gigging. You need to be, you need help, really. So I think, take your time, and you'll know that once you have, you know, something in a really good stage, the right people will start to approach you, and maybe that's a signal to then start reaching out to people, or hopefully they've already reached out to you.
Yeah, so that's almost, could you compare it to almost like a portfolio in a way, that people will see, oh, I can see that she's played these shows, she's supported these acts, she's released 3 albums and 2 EPs and stuff like that. You're building like you would in if you were a photographer or a graphic designer, you're building something behind you to
exactly
show evidence, I suppose. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that having that like portfolio, as you said, is that's when it then becomes easy to send a message to someone to support them, because you've got that behind you, and it's so much easier than just not having any songs or having one song up and them not really knowing whether it's going to work or not. So I think that that's really important, to get that portfolio behind you, because it kind of just acts as evidence to when you do reach out to these people, or that they reach out to you, that you're doing something, and it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in terms of getting the music out there, obviously we both know the power of, say, Triple J, and then you've got your music on there, and I know that's how you got the I think it was the Queenscliff Festival gig, was it?
Yeah.
And then
besides
that, what other avenues did you use, and maybe still continue to use, to get your music out there and into the ears of potential fans?
Yeah, definitely. Community radio is really good. And a lot of publications were really lovely to me. I think that you've just got to be a bit ballsy, and you've got to put yourself out there, and you've got to say, you know, share when you've got new music. And it can feel really funny as an artist, because you don't want to just you feel silly being like, oh, this is my new music. And so, that's not really my personality anyway. But yeah, at some point you do have to put your music out there, and usually local papers and whatnot will really want to jump on it and support you. So that's always fantastic. What else have I used? Just Spotify's and whatnot. I think that putting a campaign together is really important, and anybody can do this. You don't need to go to a big PR company or whatnot. It's just sitting down and working out who you think is your target audience for this song and putting in a bit of a strategy, like where are these people listening to music, or where are they spending their time? Are they looking on Instagram or Facebook, or are they going to watch this band? Anyone can put together a little marketing strategy, and maybe you want to throw $100 or $1,000 or even more, whatever it is, on ads or posters or whatever it is. Up to you and what you think your audience will engage most with.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of the community radio and community newspaper stream, what was it specifically? So it's just a matter of reaching out to the editor or maybe the host of a radio show on your local radio and just sending your music, a bit about yourself and maybe like your plans for the future or something like that? Or was there other things you needed to send them and stuff like that?
I think if you've got a bit of a story behind it, then people love to hear about it and what you're doing and whatnot. Obviously, if I just sent in my song and said, this is my new song, play it, then they're going to be like, no. But you've just got to say something that applies to them. For example, I'm a rural artist, so I can engage well with rural papers and tell them about my backstory, and they love hearing about that because it's really relatable, and often a lot of the times I know them, so they want to see my music go well. And in terms of community radio, I know, I'm trying to think of what it's called, but there's websites that you can upload your music to community radio and they'll play it for you if they like it. So there's a lot of programs like that too that you just pop it up there and see how it goes.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then something you touched on before in the terms of creating a campaign and stuff like that. For the social media side of music, do you reckon that's, especially in this day and age, it's almost more important, maybe not more important, but as important as music and the other side of it, like having a personality and a kind of a presence on Instagram and things that target your demographic? I know you do, and you do it so well. So is that something that comes into play a lot?
It definitely does, and it's something I actually really struggle with because as a person, like, I don't like to carry my phone around with me nonstop, and I don't want to capture every moment of my life. So it's really hard for somebody to just constantly be putting up content and whatnot, and sometimes it feels like a bit of a chore. So it's definitely getting in the right mind frame and remembering why you're doing it. And it is to like engage with audiences and share what's going on. And I think as long as you remember that, then it can be a bit easier. But it is important. Unfortunately, it is very important.
Yeah. And is it almost like, it's almost, maybe not annoying, but it's hard to a point where you almost have to keep up this presence. So because some potential listeners might only come through that stream rather than through Triple J on Earth or a radio station. Is it almost get like you'd rather not do it?
Oh, I'm sure if the industry was different, it would be amazing to not have to, but it definitely is important because when you're thinking about, your audience, a lot of people are on Instagram and on, I should be on TikTok, but I'm not. TikTok and Facebook and all those things, YouTube, everyone's on it all day mostly, unfortunately. So there's just so much traffic coming through all the time. And if you're, that's why it's so important, if you're putting your music out there or just being yourself really, if you're portraying that image, then someone's going to come onto your page, and then that's kind of another lead to your music.
Yeah, absolutely. And then something that I don't remember where I came across it, that but you at some point in your career quit your job to focus on what you were doing.
Yeah, probably. I've quit a lot of things. I was at uni and I had quit music actually, and then I was put uni on a bit of a hold to then actually give music a crack, which was very daunting, because as most people, I'm sure there's always people in your ear saying that it's a very tricky industry and sometimes there's not much money in it, which they're probably, the aspect of that is true. So it's hard to do, but at the same time, sometimes you've got to give yourself a chance and you've just got to give it a red hot go. And then at least, you know, you can say at least you gave it everything you could.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, that it's definitely a big move, and obviously it's gone well for you. Do you reckon it's almost like important that you focus almost all your time on it, and then you can know, all right, this is something I should do, or no, maybe not, I'll just do it as a hobby every now and then? Like, it's almost a required thing, I suppose.
I think I think it's got to have balance, because there was times where I was, you know, a poor uni student trying to work full time, and you just don't have the energy all the time to even think about music. So I don't recommend that. But at the same time, if you're just not working at all, then you've got all this pressure on yourself that you should really be writing something amazing and you should be recording the best thing of your life. Whereas for me personally, and I know other people that suits really well, but for me, it's just about having life balance. So at the moment I work casually, and it means that I can have my days where I switch off and I don't even think about music. And then I come back and I'm really refreshed and I've got all these ideas happening. And it just works really well for me, rather than like sitting at my desk every day trying to write this song when it's just, you can't force it. And that's like another reason why I like to do other creative things. Sometimes I'll sit down and I've put so much pressure on myself to try and write this song, and it's never going to happen. Like, I'm just not in the right headspace. So I'll go and do pottery or go and do something else. And it's just, you'll find that the next day you'll come back and it's, you'll just feel so much better.
Oh yeah. That's interesting. So it almost can like become a chore. If you're making yourself spend so much time on it, it'll just get less enjoyable, I suppose, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it's different for everyone, and everyone's just got to find what works for them. But for me, it was just, I was putting too much pressure on myself, and in my head I was thinking, if I'm doing this full time, then I need to do well. You know, I've got to make a living out of this. And then I was just a big ball of anxiety, and I was like, I'm not doing what I want to do. So at least if I've got something else I'm doing, then I can have my days where I come in and they're my creative days, and that's where I'm just like, yeah, okay, I'm feeling good. But another aspect of that is that you need money to record, and that's the sad truth. And as much as it would be nice to take a month off and whatnot to just focus on writing, it's pretty expensive if you want to record with the right people and be putting it out there and whatnot. So you've also got to have a bit of money behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. And to kind of close out our chat, so you've played some awesome shows, released some awesome music over your time, over your career. But if you could go back and speak to the Libby who's just getting out there and starting her career, what would you tell her? Would you want to change anything? Would you want to go about things a different way? Or are you kind of happy with how things have progressed?
It's funny because, I thought about this and I was like, oh, there's so many things I'd love to change. But then if I didn't learn those lessons then I would be learning them now, or I would be learning them in 5 years, and I would rather learn them as just starting off in my career than in the prime of my career. There's been times with people when I haven't worked with people who brought the best out in me, or people who I felt comfortable creatively. Like me personally, I'm not a theory whiz. I know in my head what I want it to sound like, but on paper I just really struggle. And sometimes I would step into a studio and I would just feel a bit bullied, and I would feel, and that's also hard with being a young woman in like a male dominated industry, is that you just feel like, oh God, I don't know anything. Yeah. You lead the way. And looking back, I would love to just be like, no, stick to your guns. Like, you, this is your vision. This is your song. You make sure it turns out how you want it to turn out. But at some point I had to learn that lesson. And now I'm so much more comfortable with, you know, putting the right team around me to make sure that a song does come out how I want it, and that I don't feel pressured to do something a certain way.
Yeah, wow. That's interesting. That almost, that the harder points, then you almost need them in your life so you know what to do and what's right, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know of so many artists who have then gone on to get a record label, and they've really struggled because they've had all these people telling them, this is exactly what it needs to sound like, or you need to be this person or whatnot. And I think you have to know who you are and what your image is and what you want to sound like before any of that comes, because A, it can just get messy, and B, I think you're not really portraying your real self and your music and whatnot.
Yeah. And then to kind of close out, what's next for you? Anything you can share with us? Just more music, going on the road? Anything exciting in the works?
A lot of exciting things on the works, which is good because there hasn't been in a while. but I've got my debut EP on the way. And the first song out on the 19th of August, which I just locked in a date today. So I'm pretty thrilled. Yeah, so it's nice to have something going. Then I'll have a new song coming out every 6 to 8 weeks. So hopefully it'll be a busy year or so, but we'll see what happens.
That was the amazing Libby Steele giving us awesome insights about making a regional town. Follow Libby over on Instagram at Libby Steele. Follow us over on Instagram at Puzzle Piece Pod. Check out all the other awesome Zen podcasts over at zen.org.au.